Really let that settle in, because as you're in, again, that intimate relationship, you start seeing things that you've never seen before. As the lady was saying in the article, you learn different things about your spouse, and then they change. They change either for the good or for the worse, but you're still always in a constant state of learning. And this transition, this I think was one of the hardest things for Catherine to transition through. It was difficult for me, but I think it really took her to a hard place because of some of the things that she was not expecting to see. I'm going to say they weren't bad things. It was just not expected. She mentioned last night that immediately, as soon as the marriage was announced, she was attacked. I kind of expected it, foreshadowed that it may occur. So there was things that I mentally was prepared for to extend her grace, extend her mercy and unconditional love. And she would really be hard on herself, and I'm like, "Hun, don't worry about it. I know God has us. I know He's taken us where He wants us to be, and I'm not looking at you to be something that you can't be, because you're going through all of these attacks." I mean, she's had attack after attack with her health. The mental struggles. It's just been pure warfare. So it would be totally unfair of me to just be demanding of her. And
I think that you have met the grace beyond, what he had to endure. But like what Christopher was saying, immediately I got attacked, and I'm down here suffering, but Christopher got he got the it he didn't get attacked, because he was basically in, I'm going to say, La La Land. I'm going to say that. Because he was excited. He was very happy, that God had actually put a seal of approval on, our heart. But he did not understand the struggle and the attacks. For one, I didn't share because it was going to hurt him. So, it was like the enemy done all that he could to try to destroy us even before the marriage was, to be. So that was a challenge. But, after marriage, Christopher was saying that the adjustment was very hard, and it was, because I am in my own world, with three children, and I know how to manage that world. So I thought. But you have Christopher now, who has, he comes with the ministry, he comes with, a lot of different things in his background that I never had experienced. So now I'm here, and then Christopher comes along and we merge, but I'm like, this is a mountain of things that I have to kind of grasp because of who he is. So in that alone, you have to, as a wife, you have to really try to conquer the other spouse's things that they bring to the table. I had certain things. I lived, a certain way. I'm gonna give you an example. I was raised to use cash only. Christopher likes checks and credit cards. So I'm thinking, let's use cash. He's like, no, we have to keep a receipt. And you do, but it's just, certain things that worked for me all of my life, where certain things happen where he brought this to the table, and I'm like, he left at the age of 27 from his home. I left at the age of 19. So I've always been independent. Christopher has the background of having a family-oriented, background, brother, sister, mom. They're very intimate as a family. Well, my family is here, there. I may not have a relationship with my mom, like Christopher has with his mom, but this is good stuff that he's bringing to the table. But you know, now I have to learn how to fit in with his family schedule. You know, I'm going to say every month there's an event. I have to prepare myself for the event. And I'm like, this is too much. You know, we have this coming around the corner, and, you know, but.
And I've had to adjust because there had to be a separation from that unit as well in order to fully concentrate on my new family. You know, there was a lot of demands and expectations that was placed from them, just totally unrealistic. And it got to a place where it was super frustrating for Catherine. It was super frustrating for me because it's just like the things that I remember this from the marriage vows. God specifically highlighted the part about you're separated from your mother, and you need. He highlighted that in such a special way. And once I got that under control, it seemed like that area changed a little bit. But there was still, there's a lot of things that go on that we're a part of, that I was a part of. The bank accounts, for example, I think I had like 8, 9 different.
I have a soul wound from his bank accounts. No. That was beyond my comprehension. Like, I have one simple account. I'm being obedient. I'm under my husband now, and he's like, "Oh, you need to take this out of 4, 5, 8, 9." I'm like, "What's a 4, 5, 8, 9?" A lot. way too much. And, you know, we've been together for over a year. And we just had a little fallout last week about the bank. And I'm like, I've grown from here to there. And he's like, I've done everything to try to help you. And I'm like, it's too complicated, but I'm learning, you know. But no, make a long story short, that's just his mind process is different from me. I'm simple. But detailed, he's who he is, and I'm learning. I'm trying to adapt. he has a system for the church that has 1,000 files. I don't even know where to begin because this. It's so many, and it's just so many. And that's, what, 22 years worth of things. I don't even know what they all are, but eventually we'll get there. So I have to figure out how to make things a little bit more simple. I have to take certain things away from him so we can work together. I haven't figured it out yet, but I will eventually.
We're doing this to highlight that, you know, strengths, weaknesses, you know, strengths, weaknesses. In your married relationship, your spouse is going to have things, like Mr. Washer said in the video, that they're absolutely wonderful at, perfect at, but they're also going to have those things that are weak. And you can't. You can't tear them down for things that they're weak in. You know, God put you together. He knew that I am the way that I am. And unfortunately for Catherine, it wasn't seen. It wasn't, you know, there. I knew some things about Catherine, but I don't know all the things that I know about her now. But we both have committed to not letting that stop us from growing closer together, to not letting that hinder our relationship with God and with each other. It becomes a place where, you know, we strengthen each other and we build each other up. For the longest time, Catherine kept telling me, she said, "I need you to teach me what you know." And I just thought, you know, she wanted me to give her some Bible information, and, you know, here and there, and but she was very sincere about she wants to understand everything that I understand the way that I understand it. Once that realization hit me, I started seeing where I was failing her because I was not really committing to giving her the thing that she needed the most, which was the ability to be able to transfer the knowledge, not just shove it into her, but to teach it to her in a way that she could get it, relate to it, and then be able to teach it to other people. You know, in the training here that God has with us with doing all of the webinars and things like that, if as a teacher you want your students to learn what you're teaching, it does no good for us to sit here and nobody get anything out of it. So I missed it with Catherine because she wasn't getting it. I thought she was, but the problem wasn't with her. It was with me and how I was presenting the information to her. So I can't blame her for her not getting, you know, what she didn't get. It goes back to me. I have to find a way to get it, to present it in a way that will fit with her. Catherine's very detail-oriented, and sometimes we'll pick a Bible scripture and we'll start reading it and start talking about it, and I think she has it, and she'll come back like 2 weeks later and says, well, what about this? And I'm like, well, we kind of talked about this, but it stuck out. It didn't really fit in. So I had to find a way to make those things to get her to understand or to see. Now, in doing this, God has shown her some excellent things. That information that we pulled out last night about Sarah and Abraham, at first I didn't really want to hear it. Because I was like, you can't tell me that Abraham is wrong. There's no scripture saying that Abraham is wrong for what he was doing.
And a part of that scripture, you know, God comes to Abraham and he says, you know, don't be afraid. Walk before me perfect. And there's certain things that had transpired within the scriptures. And I'm like, I think Abraham is living a certain way that it kind of seems as if something's not right. And he's like, did you prove that through scripture? Did you do this? And I'm like, I just know. And I'm just searching through and I'm trying to explain to him what I feel. And, you know, this is how we learn. You know, there is key words that I see, and it's like he's already passed it somehow. And he hasn't really thought, you know, certain things can take place because he's used to certain things. But, you know, God is now revealing the scriptures even deeper now. So I think we're even on a deeper level of knowledge.
He's, you know, releasing it. Mm-hmm. And you have to be open to, as many times as I've taught about that, you know, you have to be open to receive new revelation from what God is saying. Not that it's new in a sense of new, but there's things that he's exposing in the scriptures that we never saw before. He showed her that. And there's different things that, you know, in talking about scriptures, even talking about our relationship, talking about things with the family, it just was beyond me, way, way beyond me. In using this will help you realign your marriage, you know, drawing it to the place and going in the direction that God wants you to go into. Me and Catherine had this discussion. If one of us makes a mistake, is sincere and repents for the action, but there is no change in behavior, that's not good. You can say I'm sorry all day long, but if you don't change, then that's an issue. So it's vital that a good evaluation, open, honest discussion about the situation occurs. This is hard, but this will build intimacy and reestablish trust. When your spouse sees you making the effort, but backing it up with good, sincere moves to change the situation, it will move both of you to a better place. This is what it means to stay in alignment with God. Me and Catherine believe that the Lord wants the men to understand their role in marriage and women to understand their role in marriage as well. Each part is necessary. There is not one role that is above the other. All three parts are needed in what I like to refer as the marriage trinity. You know, we have the Holy Trinity, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three individuals make up the Spirit of God. Where one is there, the other two are also. The three are always together, working in perfect unity. In marriage, you are a part of a trinity as well. God the Father, the husband, and the wife. And as you grow in your marriage, you should be moving to a greater depth of oneness. The three of you should have a bond that is inseparable. You should know, feel, and sense what the others in your trinity are feeling. This is similar in many ways to how the Holy Spirit can put someone on your heart and you reach out to them and find out that they actually have a need. It should be on a much deeper level with your spouse and with God.
In a marriage, you tend to find a spouse who gives, whether it be the husband or the wife, and the other receives. The receiver does just enough to keep the other afloat. Keeping your spouse afloat is keeping them above water, but they are very close to drowning. What happens if your mate drowns? We have a video clip from the movie Guardian that we would like to show. This is just a sample or example of
Coast Guard and their training activities, when what you have to do for somebody that's drowning.
Sir, it's okay. I'm with the U.S. Coast Guard.
The guy in the black is actually the victim. They're training these Coast Guard people how to help the victims. You see, he's fighting him all the way while he's underwater. He's actually holding him down. And this actually occurs when they're going out doing rescues.
Again! I'm a Coast Guard rescue swimmer. I'm here to help you.
I'm out.
You see what they actually wound up having to do? And they train these Coast Guard people to do this. They actually train the lifeguards to do this when you're at the pool. Someone that's drowning, all they're caring about is getting out of that water. So anybody that comes next to them, they're going to attack them. They're going to attack them. They're going to fight with them. Same thing in your marriage relationship. If the person is drowning, you're trying to help them, but they don't understand that you're trying to help them, they're going to fight you all the more. You need to not take it personal. You need to do what this guy, in this particular case, was extreme. And Catherine's going to go into even more detail about how to reach out to your spouse when they're drowning, when they're struggling. But he actually had to hit this guy. That shocked him enough for to get him to stop. But he was able to pull him out of the water. Hey, sometimes you have to be confronted with your mess. I get confronted a lot, but it's okay, because God is changing me and making me a better person.
We found an article about drowning, and
you'll be able to follow along up here as well.
Okay. This is called Simple Step-by-Step Guide on How to Save Someone Who is Drowning. Now, I ran across this article at like maybe 3-something, 4-something this morning, and it's pretty cool in regards to the steps and what they title each step to be, and it really applies to marriage in a way. So let me just share what I found here. Drowning can happen anytime and surprisingly even in shallow water. Knowing what you are required to do to rescue a drowning person safely helps save lives. A simple process to carry out the rescuing of a drowning person is reach, throw, row, and go, in that order. However, the first thing you should always do immediately, if you see someone drowning, is to call for help. So the first step is dial 911. This is actually, in a marriage, call on the Father. call the rescue emergency number to help report the incident as soon as possible. So you see an issue and you're like, I need you to help me out with this. So this requires for you to getting into your prayer closet, cry out for help, wisdom, for the necessary tools to keep your spouse alive. An adult can struggle in water for about 3 minutes, but a child can only last less than 30 seconds. Now, I left this in here because for spouses, for married couples who have children, if your spouse is drowning, okay, you see that there's a time, according to this article, there's a time that you can save them. But for children, it's only less than 30 seconds. So what I'm saying is, if you have children, don't think that your children are not affected by the marriage. You have to understand that you're going to lose your children before you lose your spouse. It's very important to understand when your spouse is drowning, you don't have time to play around. You need to take the appropriate steps immediately or take a risk of losing your spouse. We've made a lot of mistakes, and it has affected the kids. And, you know, we're looking at the kids wondering, well, what is wrong with them? But we realize now that, you know, the way that we act, and we can be even quiet about it, they still feel the atmosphere, you know, because we don't never really argue in front of the kids. We don't even really argue. It's just me stating a fact or my own thought, vice versa. But the atmosphere can change immediately, where it'll go through the house and the kids will be like, well, what, you know, they'll start acting up and we're like, well, what's wrong with them? It comes from us. So we have to be very mindful about that. The next part of this, it says, therefore, action should be taken very fast to rescue a drowning person. You can also scream to attract the attraction of people who can join to assist you in rescuing the victim. This note to me, I put screaming to attract the other people who can assist you in rescuing your spouse is not what you think pertaining to marriage. Screaming should be reaching out to your pastor, Pastor Barbara, or a close friend who loves you both that will keep you covered in prayer. The next step is reach. This is quite risky, and a lot of care should be taken. You should ensure that you are in a safe position and cannot be pulled in by the victim. Lying flat on the floor and stretch your hands towards the victim would help. If you are not in a safe position, meaning if you're messed up along with your spouse can pull you down to their level. I've heard Pastor Barbara say over and over, you're not supposed to go down to their level. You're supposed to bring them up to yours. This can apply in marriage. If you cannot reach the victim, use a tree branch or a towel and taking care not to hit him or her. Throw it towards him. After he grasps it, you can pull it safe to a position. So if you cannot reach the victim, meaning if they are further out there than you thought they were, you can use, and it says here, use a tree branch or a towel. I'm saying use the wisdom or the tool God gave you in your prayer closet. And taking care not to hit him or her, meaning do not injure them any further. You are to be his or her helpmate, not hurtmate. Throw it towards him, meaning throw the tool towards them that God gave you. This is an action that needs to take place. And after they grasp it, you can pull it to a safe position. Now, notice this takes action from both parties. You throw the tool, they have to grab the tool to be brought up onto dry land. This part requires humbleness. You may not understand why things happen the way it did, but you know that you can't stay where you are. You have to be willing to allow for them to pull out of you what they put in you, whether it be hurt, pain, or frustration. So one day, I'm going to give you guys another example. Christopher and I had a serious issue, and we never hardly really have any really, really serious issues, but this particular time it was. And I got hurt behind his frustration and anger. And when he tried to reconcile it, he asked, how can I fix this? And I heard in my spirit, you put it there, you have to pull it out of me. So we stood together in prayer, and he prayed over me to pull what he deposited in me, you know, in my soul. He pulled it out by saying, Father, I pulled this out of my wife. And he just started to, you know, pray and pull it out. And it was like an instant, you know, lift. So we were able to get past that and move on. Another way to reach the victim is to get into the water. And with one hand holding the edge of the pool or grass, stretch the other hand towards the victim. And after he grasps, you can slowly pull him towards safety. Notice this instruction states, you can slowly pull him towards safety. Sometimes it's not a simple fix. Sometimes a situation can affect you in such a way where you will try to forgive and forget, but it's not that easy. This is okay as long as you continue to allow for your spouse to bring you to a safe place, and it doesn't take you too long to allow for this to take place. The next step in saving a drowning person is you throw. Most of the swimming areas have safety rings that are attached to a long rope. They usually float, and they can be used to save a drowning victim. Throw the ring towards the victim and ask him and her to grab it and then pull it towards the shore. In your home, you should be equipped with the proper tools, the Bible, the Spirit of God, to save your spouse from drowning. Ask your spouse to sit down and pray, read scriptures, and just talk about your feelings. Have an open discussion on what the problems are and ask your spouse to grab a hold of a resolution. In one part of our, you know, marriage, we were drowning because we both were drowning because he didn't want to approach me. I didn't want to approach him. So we have an issue and we're both looking at the issue, but we don't want to talk about it. So it's kind of like you can't ignore it, and you can't just pray all the time, you know, God, come and fix it. God expects for us to come together as husband and wife to be able to talk and say, hey, this is what's going on. So, we have to get past not wanting to hurt each other's feelings, because that is not a good resolution.
We actually got a prophetic word here recently that you're going to have to stop dancing around the issues, which brought us to a new place and a new level. You know, again, it was a course correction, realigning us, getting us to where God wants us to be. And it's important. You can't pretend that it's not there. You know, each of you feels it. You know it's there. And as Catherine was saying earlier, everyone in the house that you live with feels it, whether it be children or other adults that are there. And the issues just have to be addressed. Sometimes it can be said in a way that's comfortable, you know, where everybody is not hurt. Sometimes it can't be. You know, we've always, you know, sought to be very tender in the way that we address each other with different things. Because the last thing that I want is to put a soul wound in Catherine. And the last thing that she wants to do is put a soul wound in me. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't produce anything. It actually makes matters worse. But that doesn't mean that you don't address the issues that need to be addressed. They have to be dealt with.
The next part of saving a drowning person, it says row. This applies where the victim is too far and can neither use reach or throw methods. Take a boat and go close to the victim, taking care not to hit him. You can throw a safety ring to the victim to help him stabilize before you get there. Ask the victim to hold on to the boat when you get there, or you can apply reach to help him get to safety. Our communication has been a problem from day one. So, you know, we talked about the problem. We expect for change, but unfortunately it keeps appearing. So what do? You get injured over and over. You get frustrated. So what do? You get injured over and over. You get frustrated. And, you know, the issues start to be more magnified because at this point, we talked about, I need you to explain this. I need you to understand this, X, Y, and Z. The person is saying, yeah, I understand. But then right after that, they still totally missed it. But you just said you understood. You know, frustration occurs. So what happens is your spouse starts to back away. It's no need for you to keep. In their mind, in my mind, I'm going to say, it's no need for me to keep trying to go straight through that door where it's not working. You're still not understanding. So you can back up and become so far away where you can't be reached.
And seeing the thing in this example here is that you need to see that the drowning person isn't the one that's in sin. It's the other person. The other person is trying to do the rescue because they've messed up. They were the ones that committed the sin, committed the infraction against the relationship, and the other person has been there all of this time, praying, fasting, crying out to God, asking for a change, asking for resolution. So now you've broken that person's trust. You've broken their faith in you. It has to be restored. But now they're so far out there, they've been pushed away. You're damaging your relationship, and something has to intervene. Something has to change. If it doesn't get rescued, it can be the end of your relationship.
The next step would be go. Swimming to rescue someone drowning should be the last resort. It requires swimming skills and a lot of training before doing it. This is because a drowning person is violent, like you saw in that clip, and may pose danger to the rescuer. They may try to climb on the rescuer to be able to breathe, which may cause him to drown too. However, if you have to swim out to rescue a drowning person, carry a towel with you or any object that the victim can hold on to as you tow him to safety, ensuring that you are at a safe distance from him. After the rescue, give first aid to the victim immediately after rescuing him or her. Feel for the pulse on the neck side or the wrist. If he is still breathing, feel for the air coming through the nose to ensure it is open. If the victim is not breathing, perform CPR to increase his chances of surviving. And then it just goes into what CPR is. But, you know, there are some key words here. You know, give first aid to the victim. That's give healing. Try to make your spouse, once they come up onto dry land, try to give them as much care as you possibly can. And, you know, you have to understand that there is no proper way to healing. It depends on their personality and what they need. But you have to be dedicated to trying to make sure that this is, you know, best for your spouse in the state that they're in. So,
we want to close with this last video. It is by Vadi Boehm, and it's an encouragement to keep hanging in there, keep fighting, and keep together.
God joins individuals together in marriage. Man cannot unjoin what God has joined, okay? The one flesh union created in marriage is permanent until death. By the way, that's why in our vows, what do we say? And here's why, if I weren't a permanence view guy, I'd have to find a way to change wedding vows. Because the wedding vows are permanence view vows. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and health. For better or worse. Let me ask you something. Is adultery better or worse? It's worse. And it's covered in the marriage vow. Forsaking all others. Until when? Until my partner doesn't do this. No, until we are parted by death. That's the marriage vow, folks. Now, instead of one broken, sinful individual who's walking out this Christian life with the power that raised Christ from the dead in me, there is another broken, sinful individual with the power that raised Christ from the dead in them as well. And God has made the two into one. And he's given us the unbelievable privilege of representing before a lost and hurting and dying world this relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. And it is awesome in the true sense of the word. We are absolutely not up to the job. But praise God, he is able. And here's what I want you to see. Am I most like Christ when my bride is meeting all of my needs and satisfying all of my desires, and I am really not having to do much sacrificing or enduring at all? Or am I more like Christ on the hard days when I'm having to dig deep? Those are the days when I realize how utterly dependent I am on the power of Christ to do and be what he's called me to do and be, especially when I realize that the overwhelming majority of the times, what I'm having difficulty with, my own failures bearing fruit. Amen, somebody. Hang in there. By the power of Christ, hang in there.
God is wanting your marriage to succeed. He's wanting your relationship with him to succeed. He's wanting it to glorify Christ. There are, you know, the very last thing that he says is when your failures start bearing fruit. That happens. You know, there was a season in my life where I reaped everything that I had sowed bad. It came. I still think I'm reaping some of it. I'm starting to get on the other side of where good things are starting to happen. But if you don't believe that this is a truth, I'm a living witness to tell you that it is. And if you're sowing bad things into your marriage, there is a day when you're going to reap that. You're going to experience it. So I want to challenge you. Me and Catherine want to challenge you to take these lessons, these things that God has been speaking. You know, Brett and Nancy are going to finish up tonight. Take them very seriously, you know, and realize that God is doing this for a purpose. He's trying to get the marriages to where he wants them to be so that he can use the marriages, use the body of Christ to change this world and to change this region. Father, we just thank you for everything that was brought forth today. We pray that it would be sealed within the hearts and the minds of your people. We pray, Father God, that as the married couples that are here, that you would spark an interest, spark a desire for them to grow closer to you, grow closer to each other. And Father, as we're seeking more intimacy with you, we pray that you would reveal the deep darkness that is inside of us so that we can expose it to the light and be set free. We give you honor and glory for everything that you're doing, and we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.